thank you so much for coming today. Not only were the young people up here singing and lead us singing a couple of songs, but also you might have noticed some of the young people were receiving the offering this morning. So let's give them a round of applause. Can we do that? Amen. Awesome. It's really exciting to see so many young people. And you know, folks, this is when we need to start to begin to train them, isn't it? At this age. And so we praise the Lord for all of you that work with our kids. We wanted to say thank you to some folks. I'm going to ask the ringmaster if he'd come. We want to talk a little bit about the children's ministry, and then before we get into the lesson this morning. But we did want to say thank you to Jerry Kinney and Russ Hamlin. They are the ones that built many of our props. So kudos to those guys. Yeah, give them a round of applause. You may have noticed when you came in, if not, maybe you'll have time to notice on your way out, we have some photo booths painted with characters, and Carol Coots did that, so thank you so much, Carol, for doing that for us. Then Kaylee Michu and Sarah Nicholson and Chelsea McGallion painted our circus wagons, so we appreciate that. That's all these things with the animals on them, right? Kind of see them around the auditorium as well. Then Christine Bennett sewed pants for somebody you're going to see later in the program. His name is Jermaine, but he is the what? What do we call him?
The tallest man alive.
You're going to see the tallest man alive in about 30 or so minutes. He's awesome.
He is awesome.
The stilt man. What do you guys think of the tent?
Cool.
Yeah. One person did the whole thing, sold the whole thing. Pretty cool.
In one piece.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
You remember who that was?
Katie Pelletier.
Congrats. All right, Katie. All right.
She also made my coat.
She also made the ringmaster's outfit. Looked very nice, ringmaster. Awesome. And then we had Jeannie Orchid, Joy Cassidy, and Christine Remick came in. They did all the balloons in the foyer and the balloon arch in the back of the auditorium. So congratulations and thank you for doing that as well. So if you hear popping during the service, maybe we've lost a few balloons here or there. Shh. But if you do, don't panic. It's probably just the balloons. So, Gary, we got to retell the story we did last service. We have to, because it's a good story. 10 or 12 years ago, I approached Gary to be our children's pastor, because I told him before, when we've been friends for a long time, I said, Gary, I said, I think you really missed your calling. It takes a lot to say to somebody, but I did. And I said, I love you enough. I really believe that you should work with kids, because he's one big kid. But it just wasn't the right time. He just felt it wasn't the right time. I felt it was the right time. He didn't feel it was the right time. So we just went on and hired somebody else, and that was all fine and dandy. And then Pastor Steve gave us a notice that he was leaving. And so I began with some other folks thinking about who we could get. And then you can kind of go from here. You came to see me. I did not approach you.
No, he didn't. I just walked in his office one day and said, I'd like to throw my name in the hat for the children's pastor. And he quickly said, no. You're too old.
That's exactly what I told him.
And I walked out. That was the end of it.
Yep.
And then a couple weeks later, I says, I'd really like to throw my name in the hat for the children's pastor. And he said, no, you're too old. By then, I'm feeling deep-seated rejection. I was thinking about going to see Carol Bailey for therapy. And so a few weeks later, or a couple weeks later, I says, I'd like to throw my name in a hat, get an interview. And he said, no. But I'll talk to Steve Rollins and so on and so forth. And then there was the interview with the deacons. Correct.
And they said,
yes.
And I said,
no. If you're a deacon, you remember that meeting we sat in the cafe, and he, right at the beginning of the interview process, he said, he's too old, we don't want to do that. And they said yes. And so he lost another vote.
I did lose that vote.
And so thank you for allowing me to serve your children, because that's what we do upstairs, downstairs in Kidmo. All of our workers, we don't babysit your kids. I said that in the first service. We serve your kids, whether it be in Trail Life or Upstreet, Kidmo, the nursery. We're serving your kids. And all of those people who are wearing shirts today that recognize them as a worker in one of our children's ministries, they're committed to doing this. They love your children. They want to see them know Jesus in a very deep and special way. So thank them today.
Yeah, why don't we have that. All of our, let's do this. If you work in the nursery or Kidmo or Upstreet or Trail Life.
American Heritage Girls.
Or even in Thrive, even with the teenagers, would you stand up? We didn't do this last one. Why don't you guys stand up? Oh, wow, look at that. Awesome. Thank you guys very, very much. Thank you. We appreciate it. We appreciate that so very. You know, one of the reasons I kind of felt led to share this story with Gary is I think some people think that this is just a good old boys club. And if you're like somebody's friend, you just get a position. It doesn't work that way here. I'm here to tell you, Gary just told you, it doesn't work that way here. So unless you're qualified, unless we feel that you can do the job, and you're interviewed, and you have the credentials and all the rest, I did feel, and I made it very clear to the board and to Gary that he wasn't the right guy. I felt for a lot of different reasons. Gary knows the reasons. But when he interviewed, and when I said, okay, we'll give you an interview, he interviewed. And when you interviewed that night, we were not going to make a decision.
No.
Because we were going to interview other people. But the board, after listening to his interview, and he had a PowerPoint presentation, and he just really gave really a passionate plea that he really loved our kids at Cross Point and wanted to be a part of their lives and help them grow in the Lord. And the men, just after hearing that and kind of hearing his vision, and you're seeing part of the vision today, that they felt like that this was the guy. And I still said,
no.
And but they voted anyway, so I deferred to their vote. They voted, and unanimously they voted and to hire you, and we did that. And so I'm glad they said yes.
I am too.
Yeah, I am too. So I'm glad that you're here in another capacity. Yeah, give them a round of applause. Yeah. You know, I tease Gary a lot. We tease a lot when we work together. All of us do on our staff. But you'll find this from Gary, that you're going to go a long way to find somebody outside of family that loves your kids more than he does. There's no doubt about it. And I know that. And that's why I went to him 12 years ago, whatever it was, because I knew that, because we were close friends at that time. But we've got a lot of cool things this week, starting tomorrow night. Kind of tell them what's going to happen.
We have four. I think it's one of the best VBSs I've ever been involved with. Because every circus act that we have, we counter that with a Bible story and truth.
Amen.
From the song man to the lion, the strong man, not the song man, the strong man, the lion tamer. Then we have the guy who eats all the weird stuff, and he's going to eat a live goldfish this week. And we've got insurance. And then we have the illusionist, who's the escape artist. And we counter every one of those stories with a biblical story. We have Samson, who counters the strong man. We have Daniel with the lion's den. We have Jonah in the whale. And then we have Jesus, of course, who escaped death in the tomb. And that's so exciting, because it's just, you know, we can use this. We're going to use this side, the world side, and we're going to leverage it to present a gospel truth.
Amen.
And that's what's so exciting. And it requires a ton of people. It's not too late. After this service, if there's a short meeting, but if you still want to be a part of VBS, it's not too late. Just to even sit in the auditorium and sing the songs and hoot and holler over the penny rally because we'll have a penny offering, and that's going to benefit childhood cancer research. Mm-hmm. That's where all the pennies are going to go this year. And so we're partnering with a foundation there to just, and again, this is just one facet of our children's ministry. And I'd encourage you, come be a part of it. Come be a part of it. You're not too big and not too old. I mean, if Pete Jones can do it, I mean, you can do it.
That's right, easily.
No? So, I mean, really, it's just come be a part of it. It's exciting.
And all the food this week, it's carnival food, right?
All carnival food. First day is popcorn. They'll get popcorn and then cotton candy. Then we do fried dough. Mm. And it's really good. I had the test run. I am the King's cupbearer. Can you tell? In case you're wondering.
You know, you look like a real ringmaster that I see.
Yeah, I'm trying. And then the last day, we've got the Barnum and Bailey animal crackers in the little pouch for the kids. And everything is all around the circus. And we want you to use the photo booth with your kids afterwards. There's props. There's the faces that you can put. Use that. Have fun with your kids today. Enjoy them. They grow up really fast, don't they?
Amen.
And then you wish you had done some things. And then it's just go enjoy your kids today. And we got a concession stand to be out there. Everything is around the circus. Everything.
Cool.
This week.
Thank you, Ringmaster.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. All right. Very good. That's awesome. That is awesome. Very, very good. Just a couple of other things, too. Free cafe on July 7th. Just FYI, free cafe, so put that in the back of your brain. And then on the 14th of July, Hawaiian Shirt Day. Now, that won't be different for some of you, but, you know, for some of us, it will be. So Hawaiian Shirt Day on the 14th. Then July 7th is free cafe. That's kind of, you know, obviously Independence Day weekend. We're not going to do anything, you know, special as far as our services, but, you know, wear red, white, and blue. That would be really good on that particular day as well. We're going to ask Aiden. Aiden, are you out there? Come right up, sir. Give Aiden a round of applause, would you? All right. Let's all stand together. Aiden, you want to read off the screen this morning? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us how old you are and what grade in school you are.
I'm 11, and I am going into sixth grade.
Awesome. All right. And he's doing our verse today for us. And he's doing our verse together for us. All right, I tell you what, I'll do the first one, and then you can do the rest of them, okay? Ready? Here we go. Psalms 19:1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Go ahead.
Psalms 19:1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Psalms 19:1. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the expanse is declaring of the work of his hands.
You want to do it one more time?
Sure. Psalms 19:1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands.
Now, if everybody turns and looks at the screen in the very back of the auditorium, right under the sound booth, I can't see a word of that, but you do, right? Your eyes are a lot better than mine. All right. Thank you so much, Aiden. I appreciate it. God bless you, brother. All right. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Let's pray together, and then we'll jump into our message. Our message today is a little bit shorter. I'll cut it in half from next week. We'll do half this week, half next week, because obviously of all the programs. We've got a special song after the lesson this morning, and we've got some people that we want to introduce. So we're only going to do just a short devotional this morning, and then we're going to carry on with some more of our circus, and then we'll be dismissed for the rest of the day. So would you pray with me? God, bless now our short lesson today. Thank you, God, for all of these young people and all of these adults that give their time that young people might see Jesus. We pray now that you'd bless our short lesson today. Bless Vacation Bible School Week starting tomorrow night. thank you once again for all the people that have made it possible. Give them a great week. And most of all, God, we ask that many of these young people would recognize their need of Jesus and ask you into their life as their personal Savior. Bless now our lesson. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you so very, very much. You may be seated. Thank you, Aiden. That was absolutely awesome. See ya. All right. That was good. He was a lot more relaxed second time around, wasn't he? He was like, I should have let him just preach the lesson. He was ready to go, I think. All right. Very, very good. Thanks, Aiden. We appreciate that. You know, by the way, speaking of Aiden, Pastor Gary and I have been talking with Jess about how can we get our kids more involved in our services. And we're thinking about kids helping us more receiving the offering. We're talking about more Aidens helping us with our Bible verses. And I think it's just so important that young people have an opportunity to be used and be able to use their gifts and talents, because really it's so important. You know, we talk about, well, the kids are the future church. Well, actually, the kids are now. They're part of now, and we want to use them for God's glory. Well, today we were going to try to get through verses 25 through 33. That's not going to happen for obvious reasons. But let me just put the verse up there that we're going to talk about in just a moment. And you can go ahead and kind of read that through yourself. Jesus had just finished, obviously, in verse 24, back upstream. And those that were here last week know that Jesus finished that particular section of his sermon called the Sermon on the Mount, as he's teaching the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the people as they're sitting on the side of this hill. So young people, I know you're new to our church as far as sitting in big church, but just imagine that you're all sitting on the side of a hill and somebody is speaking, and that person is Jesus, and Jesus is teaching this lesson to those people. And in verse 25, he says to them, he says, it's very important that you do not, because you can't serve two masters, because you'll love one and hate the other one and love this one and despise the other one. And then he closes verse 25 and verse 24 rather, and he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, you can't love God and the things of this world the same. Doesn't mean you can't love the things of the world. It means that you can't love them as much as God. In other words, one is going to take precedent over the other one. And then Jesus, with that in mind, he says, you can't love God and the things of this world. For this reason, I want to share something with you. And what Jesus is going to share with us today is something that is very convicting, because every single one of us struggle. I struggle. You struggle. Some struggle more than others, but we all struggle to a certain degree. And it's a battle that we're always fighting as we're drawing closer to God, hopefully on a daily and weekly and monthly and yearly basis. And it's this, it's the idea of worry. 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 Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon the same, because that would be two masters. You have to choose one over the other. And if we choose Christ to be our master, Jesus says, for this reason I say to you, don't be worried then. Because if I'm really your master, then I am the person that you're going to look to follow. Don't be worried about your life, your physical life, your spiritual life, your intellectual life, your emotional life, everything about you. If I'm your master, you don't have to worry. Then he breaks it down as to what you will eat, to what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you're going to put on, what clothes you wear. Is not life more than food? And isn't your body more than just what you wear? The earth is the Lord's, and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it, everything we have, notice, everything we have belongs to who, church? God. Everything we have belongs to God. And if that's true, the psalmist says, so why are you worrying about what you don't have? So what can we learn? Well, to a certain degree, we don't like to say this. We don't want to admit this. But there are four major points I want to share. Two this week, and we're going to finish the other two next week. But the first point is this. When we doubt God, when we worry over things, we have to wrestle with the fact is that we are demonstrating, to a certain degree, a lack of faith in God. Because he's our master. And first of all, we see here in Psalm 24:1, God makes it very, very clear that God owns how much? Everything. Our master, who we have put our faith and trust in, he owns everything. The world and all that's in it, and all the people that are in it. Everything. Second of all, we learn something about God. Not only that, but he controls everything. John Wesley, who was a preacher for many, many years ago, back in the 1700s. And in those days, it was common for people's houses to burn down because they were made of wood. And over the years, it would get dried out. And there wasn't a fire department down the street. There wasn't a phone that they could grab and call, hey, my house is on fire. Come and help me. And so we find out what happened, that they rushed to John Wesley, and they said, John, your house is burned down. And he stopped for a moment. He said, well, that's interesting because I don't own a house. God does. And then he made this statement that I thought was amazing. He said, it's just one less thing now that I have to worry about. And as I shared the previous two services, I'm not where John Wesley is, but I'm working on it. When we get to the place where we can have that kind of attitude and where we really begin to understand the depth that God truly does own everything and controls everything, that's a good place to be, isn't it? Notice here what Daniel says. Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to God. It is God who changes the times and the epochs. God removes kings and establishes kings. God gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is God who reveals the profound and hidden things. God knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with God. God ultimately is in control. The problem is that we think we are in control. But God is. Not only that, we find that God also provides. God owns, God controls, God provides. Abraham, some of you might know the story, how he's going up the side of the mountain. God has challenged him to step out by faith and sacrifice, by the way, his only son on an altar. Amazing man of faith. And as I said at the last hour, Isaac went along with the plan and was carrying the wood. And he looked around and he said, oh, by the way, Dad, where is the sacrifice? I think by then, red flags were going up. Abraham said, don't worry, God's going to provide. And I think at that point, Isaac understood that he was supposed to be the sacrifice. We talk a lot about the faith of Abraham. What about the faith of Isaac? Isaac is the one that laid down on the altar. The Bible says that Abraham had the knife and was ready. And Isaac, there he was. The word Lord here, L-O-R-D, all caps, is the official name for God. It means Yahweh or Jehovah. That's God's official name. When you see that in the Bible, that's what it means. Sometimes you will see L-O-R-D with a small O-R-D. That could mean numerous things. The Lord of a house, for example, as a master. Or representing a certain person's name is another example. But here, Abraham called the name of that place where God provided that ram, that animal who got caught in the bushes. Right about the time that Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, God provided, the Lord God, Jehovah, Yahweh, will provide. That means Jehovah Jireh. That is a Hebrew name for God, that God provides. So as Jesus is teaching this lesson, he's teaching, look, if I'm your master, because you can't serve two masters equally, and if I'm your master, you need to understand that I am the person that owns, I am the person that controls, and I'm the person that provides. What are you worried about? Well, as it is said to this day, in the Mount of Yahweh, it will be provided. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, Jerry, God doesn't provide. I know people around the world that are starving to death. Look what God is doing to some countries and some peoples. I would submit to you that God isn't doing anything to those people. And I'll tell you why. Research by McGill University and the University of Minnesota. Hunger is caused by two things: poverty and inequality, not scarcity. For the past two decades, the rate of global food production, listen closely, has increased faster than the rate of global population growth. The world already produces more than 1.5 times enough food to feed everybody on the planet. What's the problem? Where the problem? Corruption, greed, lack of sharing. God has provided for his people, but man has taken what God has given, like he does in every single area. He meets our need. But what happens? Man's flesh, the world, Satan corrupts, divides, does everything he can to destroy what God has placed. God does provide. God is in control. God does own everything. And then, interesting enough, our second point before we close this morning, when we worry to the point where we're crippled, we can't function. The old German word for worry means to strangle. It means to choke, and that is exactly what worry does, isn't it? Not only does it demonstrate a lack of faith, but we don't need to worry because of who our Father is. Well, you remember when you were a little boy or a little girl, and we've got some of them in the auditorium this morning. But do you remember as an adult when you went to mom and dad and you were just a little tight? Why did you go to them? You went to them because they were your father, they were your mother. You didn't worry. Why? Because they could meet that need. You had the confidence that when you went to mom or dad or both, that they would meet your need. It's no different with you and I today. Jesus is teaching on the hillside. I believe even possibly some birds were flying by at the moment Jesus was teaching. And he said, look at these birds. There were a lot of birds, obviously, where Jesus was teaching. That they don't sow nor reap nor gather into barns. They don't go out and get food and bring it into huge vases. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. In other words, they operate on instinct. They get enough just to get through a short period of time. And then Jesus says, are you not more important than these birds? It's a rhetorical question. And who of you being worried can add one single hour to your life. There's a great quote by Charles Mayo. Maybe you've heard of the Mayo Clinics. He was one of the founders. Here's what he said. He said, worry affects our circulation, the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system. He said, quote, I've never met a man or known a man to die of overwork, but I have known a lot who have died of worry. End quote. And we worry about our life. We worry about things. And why are you worried about clothing? Food, life expectancy, and clothing. Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, the richest man, one of the wisest men that ever lived, he had the best clothes that anybody could buy, tailored perfectly with splendor beyond belief. But yet even his clothes were not as gorgeous of a precious flower that God created. Jesus goes on. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, and it's thrown into a furnace, and really a better word there is oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Does he not clothe you? Does he not meet your needs? Does he not love you? Does he not care? What was Jesus teaching us in these verses? What was his point? Food, life expectancy, clothing. We find with these flowers and these plants that were so beautiful. And we know when we get flowers, if somebody picks us flowers and they give us flowers, those flowers don't last long, do they? And here we find in the culture of Jesus, which those people would have connected the dots as they saw the birds, as they would have understood about clothing. Many of them probably would have had one or maybe two sets of clothing. When I travel to many countries around the world and when I go to people's homes, it's not like traveling to your home or my home. There are no closets. People would have connected the dots. When they would bake bread in these ovens, on the bottom part underneath the oven, they would discard flowers that had died, and they would light those as well to go along with the regular fire, to give more heat to bake bread. They would have understood this in their cultural context. And Jesus said, if I create something that is awesome looking as a flower, if I take care of the birds, if they're able to gather what they need to eat, if I give you life and allow the birds and the grass to have life, how much more do I care for you that I'll help you in your needs? But we worry. James 4:14 and Proverbs 27:1 talk about not boasting ourselves for tomorrow. That life is but a vapor, it appears for a while, then what happens? It vanishes away. He's telling us, he's teaching us that we need to be more concerned about things that are long-lasting. Don't be consumed by things that are here today and gone tomorrow. Does it mean we can't have things? Of course not. Does it mean that we can't enjoy things? Of course not. We just should not enjoy those things more than we do Jesus. That's the issue. That's what Jesus is teaching. He didn't say, love God and have no mammon. He didn't say that. He said, just make sure that I'm your master. You can have these things. Don't allow these things to become your master. Because those things are like clothing and like life and like food. They're here, but they're gone. They're temporary. The things of God are eternal. And aren't we glad? So as we choke ourselves, as we strangle ourselves, as we cripple ourselves emotionally from worry, and about 70 to 80% of the things that we worry about never transpire. We sit up all night worried about what's going to happen in my business, what's going to happen in that relationship, how am I going to make that work, what am I going to do in this situation. Listen, God already has your back. He's in control. He owns it. He will provide. And whatever happens, we can fall back onto a God who is our Jehovah Jireh. God provides. We serve a great God, don't we, church? As we close, I'm going to ask Jess to come. And after our invitation, we have another song we want to do and introduce you to some very unusual people. It's not Jess. I want you to stand with me, if you would. Now, I want to pray for you today. I want you to be honest with God this morning. And if you struggle with worry. Now, we all have certain degree of struggle. I understand that. I'm talking about if it's crippling you, if it's controlling you, if it's choking you, if it's strangling you emotionally. What I want to do is lead you in prayer this morning. I want us to confess the sin to God, and I want us to pray to ask God to fill us with His Spirit, to give us strength, to get us in a place that we can begin to worry, not worry about worrying, where we can ask for help when things come into our lives that we say, oh my, now what am I going to do? Remember, God controls, as we've already said, God owns and God provides. Can we say that together? Let's do it together. God owns, controls, provides. God owns, controls, provides. One more time. God owns, controls, provides. Do you believe that? Amen. So when things come into your life, stop. Say, God, I know that you own, you control, and you provide. I'm going to trust you. Job said, though you slay me, will I trust you. If you struggle with this part of your life, worry, the sin of worry, I want you to pray quietly in your heart as I pray out loud. God, I come to you today. I admit that I struggle with worry. And right now, God, I ask you to supernaturally fill me with your Spirit and give me the victory over worry. That God, when things come into my life, that I'll be able to reflect and be able to say, first of all, flee. But that you control. That you provide. And God also, that you own everything. You own, you control, you provide. And God, give me the grace and strength and faith that I need to not be controlled by worry. God, I love you today. I want victory over this. God, help me. Because this is hurting my relationship with you. It's hurting my ability to function. And God, you are greater than the worry that I'm experiencing. And so God, I come to you today. Upon my face, upon my knees. And I ask you, God, to break this cycle of worry in my life. Give me your power. Aren't you glad, church, that we can ask for God's power? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.